Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to the Couple Speak Relationship Forum on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Susan Lager, a psychotherapist and coach at the Couple Center and Couple Speak in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, where I broadcast live every month on Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tonight's show, March 27th, 2013, The Power of an Apology, will be a short half-hour show about what I've learned professionally and personally about the benefits of an apology. I'll also touch upon the way to do it and the way not to do it, as I describe in my new book, Become Relationship Smart Without a Lifetime of Therapy, which I can happily say is now available for sale on Amazon.com as a paperback as well as an ebook. If you'd like to join me on the air with a question or comment, just dial 1 on your phone and you'll be in line to join me. As always, I welcome calls, so don't be shy. And I think what I'll do is I'll just take calls tonight as they come in, given the brevity of the show. Now, most of you have probably had the experience of feeling wronged by another person who was then either grown up enough to apologize or didn't. And I'll start by saying something about what I've learned over the years about the effect of no apology forthcoming when one would seem to be. In all my work over the years with individuals and couples, I have seen loads of damage that happens around transgressions, things that feel like violations of one kind or another. And it could be an affair. It could be the breaking of an agreement about the kids. It could be a boundary violation, sharing something private. It could be a boundary violation or the breaking of an agreement about money. Or it could be something really small, like being late or forgetting an event. And what I can tell you is that whatever the transgression, whatever the event, it does not bode well for a relationship when there's no apology forthcoming. It tends to leave the person, the injured party, as I will call them, or the hurt party, in a state of not feeling acknowledged, having to kind of swallow it and absorb the sense of injury all by themselves without feeling either understood or seen or validated by the other person. And what I've seen a lot of couples do is just kind of sweep it under the rug and pretend to forget about it and deny and avoid the issue and hope that it just kind of goes away. And there is a kind of collusion to let it ebb away until the next time. But this does not bode well for relationships. It has a very corrosive effect on trust and on closeness. So I will just begin with that it's generally not good to, it's not good to not apologize. And I'll be talking tonight about the benefits of apologizing and why it's so important emotionally to both the giver and the receiver of the apology. Apology is really crucial to our mental and even physical health. Research actually shows that receiving an apology has a noticeable positive physical effect on the body. It's a very healing thing physiologically. And an apology may actually affect the bodily functions of the person receiving it. Research has indicated that blood pressure decreases, while the heart rate slows, and breathing actually becomes steadier. It's remarkable. I'd be very interested to see about long-term studies that may link, and I'm not aware of any that are out there, but that may link either reduction in diseases over time for people who have experienced apologies with some regularity versus the disease process for people who have not. That would be, I think, a very interesting piece of information to get. But the apologies also have very strong emotional benefits. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the benefits on the hurt person in case you're somebody who's not in the habit of apologizing or it just feels too humiliating to do it. I would like you to know a little bit about what it actually does for the person on the receiving end. A person who has been harmed feels emotional healing when they're acknowledged by the wrongdoer. It's a very validating experience. There's a feeling of being understood around the injury. So in my work with individuals and couples, people report feeling seen, feeling understood, and feeling really appreciated around the sense of injury, whether it's large or small. So that's a very important benefit to the hurt person. When we receive an apology, we no longer perceive the wrongdoer as a personal threat. An apology tends to have a neutralizing effect, and it tends to humanize the wrongdoer. We see them as fallible, and we see them as taking responsibility so that they're no longer perceived as threatening to us, or at least it reduces our experience of seeing them as a threat. An apology also helps us to move past our anger and prevents us from being stuck in the past. And I think I call an apology, a good apology, a real effective bitterness deterrent. Because when you're left with an experience of injury and it's unchecked and it hasn't been acknowledged, it does. For people who are at all conscious, it does tend to create, it obviously creates an experience of violation, but it creates anger and resentments. And resentments over time are very, very corrosive to relationships. So an apology really helps kind of mitigate the immediate anger that we may feel, and it helps us move into the present from the past. An apology also opens the door to forgiveness, and this is probably the most important thing. It allows us to have empathy for the wrongdoer, and it's very hard, and I'll say something about that. There is no such thing as genuine forgiveness, or it's very hard to forgive somebody who has done us harm when they haven't apologized, because we cannot have compassion for them. We cannot sort of see things through their eyes. So the receiver of the apology experiences a more open-hearted place when they're on the receiving end of an apology, and it opens up that very healing process of forgiveness. Now, an apology also benefits the giver in several ways that are really critical, and people don't tend to think about this, but it's equally as healing for the giver. The debilitating effects of the remorse and shame we may feel when we've hurt another person can really eat away at us until we become emotionally and physically ill. So by apologizing and taking responsibility for our actions, we help to rid ourselves of esteem-robbing self-reproach and guilt. And I see every day how guilt and shame are corrosive elements over time to feeling good about oneself. So I encourage people, and I talk about this in my new book, Become Relationship Smart Without a Lifetime of Therapy, that one of my key things that I talk about is apologize. Be big enough to own up and take responsibility for your action, and acknowledge your own humanity. It's not going to kill you, and it's going to actually do very good things for your own self-esteem. Even people who are very blocked and tend to live in denial underneath all that is often a feeling of shame that's being kept down, shame and self-reproach, and that is not good to one's self-esteem. It takes a lot of energy to keep that down, but you rid yourself of that when you deliver heartfelt apologies. Another impact on the giver of the apology is that it has the power to humble even the most arrogant person. When we develop the courage to admit we're wrong and we work past our resistance to apologizing, we develop increased feelings of self-respect. It takes a big person to apologize and to have humility. So I encourage people to do that partly as a correction against feelings of bravado or false pride, a pumped up sense of oneself. There's such a thing as an appropriate and helpful degree of humility, and I think apologizing really fosters that. Now, I have a few people on the line. If it, at this point, given the fact that it's a very short show, if you have a question, again, just dial one. I'd be happy to take a question or comment. I don't see any yet, so unless I see a one come up, I'll just keep moving on. Okay? Okay. Now, apologizing also helps us to remain emotionally connected to our friends and loved ones. Knowing we've wronged someone can really cause us to distance from the person. But once we've apologized, we feel free to be vulnerable and intimate. So what I say to people is take your lumps. There's such a thing as carrying appropriate shame. When you don't do it, you'll notice, and I encourage people to look at this, that you tend to kind of avoid people where you behaved in ways that are shameful. And I can think of some experiences in my life where I didn't call back in a timely way, and then it got worse and worse and worse. And before I knew it, the relationship was very distant, and it became on my bucket list to get to it. It just was not a good thing. And I don't think I'm atypical. I think it's really very typical for people to, we stay away from things that make us feel bad. And if there's an internal, even if it's a very small little voice inside that creates some feeling of guilt or shame, you're going to distance whether you realize it or not. There's another very little talked about benefit of apologies, and that's that because apologizing usually causes us to feel humiliated, you know, we experience a sense of our own humility when we do it. It can also act as a deterrent, reminding us not to repeat the act. It's not fun to apologize. It takes a big person, and if we remember how hard it was to apologize and how hard it was to feel so humble and to carry the shame, we're less likely to repeat the act that really set the stage for the whole event. So that deterrent effect, I think, is really strong. Now, there's also a connection between apologies and empathy, which I think are very important for people to understand. To forgive, most people need to gain some empathy and compassion for the wrongdoer. This is where apologies come in. When someone apologizes, it's a lot easier to view him or her in a compassionate way. When wrongdoers apologize, we find it easier to forgive them. It tends to humanize people. And this happens because when someone confesses to and apologizes for hurting us, we're then able to develop a new image of that person. So instead of seeing them through the lens of anger and bitterness, what we see is the person's humility and how, you know, that their apology, we see them as more fallible and vulnerable, and we see them in more humanistic ways. We see the wrongdoer as more human and more like ourselves, so we can connect and identify with them. So again, it bridges the distance. We're less likely to marginalize that person around an event and say, you know, they're fallible. It opens the door for us to begin to think about what set the stage for that behavior. And that's another whole show, how you can develop more compassion for people who have wronged you. But I can tell you that one of the first steps is being on the receiving end of a heartfelt apology. Now they have a question mark. It's not a one on the studio. So, caller with a 917 area code. Hello.
Hello. Hi, Susan. I find this a very interesting topic. I really basically have a comment, and it's not a question. Everything that you're discussing, the benefit in the giver and the receiver of the apology and the apologizer, are things that I myself have felt, and at one time it was very, very difficult for me to apologize as though it was taking something away from me. And I think a lot of people tend to feel that way. They feel very vulnerable. But I find it very liberating. And in a sense, my partner, who is a very caring and tender person, finds it hard to verbalize his love. But interestingly, he does not have a problem expressing his apologies. When he's hurt me, he will say, I'm wrong. And I've learned through him to do that. And in
That's
a
great.
Sense, I feel it's a great way to show a person that you love them by apologizing.
Well, I was just going to say, he may not say the words, I love you, very often, but it sounds like he's telling you he loves you by acknowledging what he's done that may have been hurtful to you, and by telling you that he understands, and by carrying, I call it carrying appropriate shame, that if he's big enough to carry the shame around his behavior and own up and fess up, it's another way to show and tell you that he loves you.
I totally agree with that. And
yeah, there could be another whole show about, you know, saying I love you and maybe why it may be hard for him, and that may have everything to do with what was modeled for him in his family of origin. Maybe the family wasn't demonstrative in that way. Or, you know, maybe it's an area of vulnerability. Maybe he's had experiences around those words that have made him a little gun-shy about that. But you're a case in point about how when you're on the receiving end, when you give an apology, rather, it's a very cleansing, as hard as it may be to do it, it's a very cleansing experience. And how when you're on the receiving end of it, you feel really cared about.
Completely. I like myself more. I really respect myself more when I'm able to apologize, as hard as that is. So,
yes,
a lot of what you're speaking about, it really holds true for me. And thank you. I had an epiphany while I was listening to you, how it is makes one feel very loved when someone apologizes, because it is not easy, as it's not
right.
easy for some people to share their feelings. So thank you. Interesting.
You're
program.
Welcome.
Thank you so much, Susan.
Very.
Not
thank
at
you.
All.
One of the things, by the way, I say to people, and I say this to couples who have children, is that it's really important for you to start really young. When you, as a parent, you do things that have a negative impact on your child and can be experienced as hurtful or disappointing or mean in some way, it's really important to begin modeling this behavior when, as soon as your child is born and they can understand your language. I remember in my family, apologies were not very forthcoming. And I remember when we had our son deciding, you know what, that was not the best part of my family. They had a lot of other strengths and wonderful things, but I am not going to carry that legacy forward. I am going to model something for our son that was not done much in our family. So I remember a very interesting impact, you know, beginning to say, oh, mommy, sorry, I shouldn't have done that, that was mean, or that wasn't very nice that I did that. I'm sorry. I could see that felt very hurtful to you. And mommy will, you know, I'll try to do this, that, or the other thing differently. And how one of the things I saw, just in terms of the modeling experience, is that as soon as our son could talk, he would parrot. He would kind of imitate that behavior. What he would do was say he was sorry for his part in a situation. And I'm talking as early as 3 years old, where he'd say, well, I wasn't very nice either, in his own little childlike way. And I never expected that as a benefit, that the modeling would make it so much more possible for him. And to this day, he's really very good about apologizing. So I would say if you have children, start early and see it as a parental strength, see it as a gift that you're giving your child. You're showing your children that it's this is a normal part of life. We all screw up, and part of being an adult and part of being a really good person is to let people know to acknowledge how you've hurt them and, you know, that you feel badly about it. Now what I would like to do is just, with the remaining time, talk a little bit about the how-tos of an effective apology. But before I do, I just want to say one thing, that apologies are not always forthcoming. And, you know, there are lots of situations in life where, let's say you have a home invasion and the people who broke into your home and tied you up and brutalized you feel very entitled, and they're maybe sociopaths or they're just career criminals, and there's no apology forthcoming. They're just defensive, and they get a good lawyer. They lawyer up, and they just defend themselves. Or there are situations where, you know, maybe you have a partner who's had an affair, and they're not grown up enough to acknowledge what they did. Or someone's died. Maybe someone has done something that's very hurtful to you, and then they die. And so there, you are not, you don't have the benefit of a process that would lead to a genuine apology. And so what I want to say is that apologies are not always forthcoming and sometimes not possible within a certain time frame. And there's a wonderful book that's written about how you can release yourself from the kind of bitterness that happens around no apology forthcoming, how you may not be able to do forgiveness because that's a two-person transaction, but you can do what is called acceptance. You have two options, either acceptance or cheap forgiveness, where you let somebody off the hook and you forgive them even though they haven't earned it, which is not good for, it may reduce conflict in the immediate, but it's not good for your own self-esteem, and it lets the other person off the hook. Or you can do the acceptance process, and that's a long discussion. Acceptance is where, in essence, you do with yourself internally what would have been done with you in terms of the acknowledgement. If you have questions about that, I would refer you to Janice Abrams Spring's book, How Can I Forgive You? And it's all about forgiveness and how it happens and when there is no apology or remorse. In any event, a little bit about the how-tos of a heartfelt, effective apology. And I go into this in more detail in my book, Become Relationship Smart Without a Lifetime of Therapy. But what I talk about is that there are three main parts to a really important apology that has weight. The first part is remorse. The offender expresses remorse using an I statement. I'm sorry I was late. I feel really badly about being late again. I don't feel good about that. So, and remorse is when you express remorse, it's an I statement, not I'm sorry you're upset I was late. I'm sorry I. What do you feel remorse about doing? That's the ownership process, and it's behavior you're addressing. The second key part is an empathic statement, empathy. So it's very important when you're apologizing to acknowledge what your understanding is about the impact of your behavior on the other person. So it might sound something like, I can see how when I was late, I held you up, or my lateness was worrisome to you, or I could understand how my lateness contributed to a situation where you were then late and you missed your event. So, I could understand how when I was late, you felt A, B, C, or D. So it's important to let the other person know your sense of what the impact of your behavior was on them. I know it hurt you, or I know it offended you. I could see how it offended you. I can understand how you would be worried, etc. That is the part that helps the person feel really seen, really acknowledged around the injury. You're joining with them. The third part of a heartfelt apology, and I don't know if I would call it the most important part, but certainly a critical part, so you're not always apologizing and apologizing again and again, which is toxic if you do nothing about it, is a statement that addresses corrective action. So it might sound something like, I know I've been late with some frequency. I will be more vigilant about putting my appointments in my day planner, or I will check my alerts on my phone with more diligence so that I'm not late. I value our time together, and this is what I will do to prevent it from being an ongoing occurrence. We've all heard about, the classic alcoholic story where the alcoholic beats his wife and then comes home and gives her flowers as a gesture of apology, and then says, really doesn't say anything, or may say, I'm really sorry that I beat you up, I'm sorry that I brutalized you, I'm sorry I drank so much, and then proceeds to do it again and again and again. And that's equally as bad as not apologizing, because in effect, there's no responsibility for corrective action. And what I say to people is words by themselves are cheap. So if you feel remorse and you know you've wronged somebody, think about what am I willing to do to in the way of some kind of corrective action, and tell the other person, and then do it. And people are very forgiving. If they see, most people are not going to require 100% compliance or perfection after that. But if they see you working on it, that will have a very healing effect on the relationship. Unbelievably enough, the show is almost over. I'm always really shocked at these half-hour shows. They're very small. But if you would like more details about using I statements and a little bit more detail about what an apology looks like and what it doesn't, and I go into some details about what it doesn't look like, feel free to get a copy of my new book, Become Relationship Smart Without a Lifetime of Therapy, which is now available, as I said earlier, on Amazon. And it's available as a paperback and also as an ebook for Kindle and iPad. You go to Amazon.com, you just key in Susan Lager, and it'll take you to that book as well as my first book. Anyway, I've got to go. Thank you for my listeners, and thank you for my caller in. I appreciate your comment and your sharing. It was very, I think very relevant and helpful. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I just want to let you know that my next episode will be in 1 month on Wednesday, April 25th at 8:30 p.m. It'll supposedly be spring by then. Who knows? But it's 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I will be announcing the topic in a few weeks and what the topic is and whether or not I will have a guest. I wish everybody a very happy Easter and a happy Passover and a happy spring. It will be coming, looks like it, hopefully. Good night.